good morning. It's a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. And on a Thursday morning, word coming from New York's capital, Alan, that the lawmakers appear to have a tentative deal on mayoral control of New York City's schools. Following a day of closed-door talks between legislative leaders, Cuomo and lawmakers introduced legislation just before midnight last night that included a two-year extension of mayoral control as part of a wide-ranging deal. This from the Daily News this morning, Ken Lovett. The proposal also included, among other things, improved pension benefits for some city cops and firefighters, an extension of various local taxes, including the city's personal income tax. It also, Alan, includes a measure already approved by the Senate to rename the Tappan Zee Bridge after former Governor Mario Cuomo.
Yes, David, and the main thing is you get them all tired, the assembly members, they sit there, and then you can literally watch their faces. They change from human faces to sheep faces, and then they go, bah. And that's because they're so tired. They just want to go to sleep. So the time-honored convention is to get them tired, get them to hold up their hand and go, yeah. And it's disgusting. It's been this way for many, many years, and nothing is going to change. So the main thing here is that de Blasio, the mayor of New York, gets himself an extension on the mayoral control, which a lot of people were worried about. We know that Senator Flanagan and the Republican conference over in the Senate were furious with de Blasio for supporting Democratic candidates for the Senate in the hope that they would take it over a couple of years ago. And that, of course, didn't happen, and they've been taking it out on the guy ever since. A great example of where politics and policy convene. The Mario Cuomo Bridge, no big for the folks in the legislature to name a bridge after a former governor who was governor for three terms. And I'm not a big believer in naming things for Mayor Koch or for Governor Carey or for any governor, but they do it, and they do it all the time. And I suppose that we have to get used to that because this is the way they get their jollies.
Let's go to the national political scene. Alan, you mentioned the intersection of politics and policy. I see a major headline in the Times today. At last resort on health bill, GOP may try bipartisanship.
You know, there's what they really think and what their political posture is. The political posture is Obamacare, Obamacare, Obamacare. Now, in this country right now, this health care bill being considered by the Senate is regarded as poison by most voters. You know, not a little poison, but most voters think it really is poison. And yet they go ahead with it because their political posture has always been Obamacare is bad. You had the president yesterday saying Obamacare is terrible. Everybody knows it's terrible. It's very bad. And what we're going to do is very good. And yet there are indications he has no idea what's in it. He's not a policy guy. He's not a policy wonk. He's not in the weeds. He wants a victory. And that's what's important to Donald Trump. So there is, as I said, there would be yet another chance for McConnell, the Senate leader, to get this thing passed. And he is trying to get a CBO estimate again one more time. He's dealing with the recalcitrants and the people who held back and trying to give them some political cover. He has Mr. Heller of Nevada, who's the number one target of the Democrats and who is extraordinarily weak. He's trying to give him some cover because those people know that this substitute bill really stinks. On the other hand, the idea of continuing Obamacare by negotiating with the Senate Democrats and saying, okay, we all know there's something wrong here. Let's make sure that this thing works. That is unacceptable because it is not political enough for the Republicans who have been yelling about Obamacare from the very beginning. But that, of course, is the way that the legislative process ought to work. You ought to take a bill. You say everybody agrees there's a few things that are wrong with it. Make it better. Make Obamacare better. Then you'll have an outcome which would satisfy a lot of people, including most of the voters in the United States now.
Finally, Alan, an op-ed in the Times today, and it has to do with the president keeping us in the dark, as the headline says. And I'll read you one of the sentences here from Mark DaCosta. It was the third time in a week the Trump administration banned cameras from the daily press briefing, so the cable network sent a veteran sketch artist to capture the news of the day.
A very political move on the part of the White House. They realized that every time Sean Spicer gets up there, it's another Saturday Night Live potential. Sarah Huckabee Sanders certainly hasn't distinguished herself either. So the idea is don't have a press conference, don't answer questions. If you do answer questions, keep it to a very few, a strategy that is bound to work. Because the other one certainly wasn't. And if you keep people in the dark, and if you say to the voters, too bad, you don't really have to see this. This has all become silliness. The base will like it, and the rest will go jump in the lake.